This morning the scripture comes from the book of Mark, chapter 1, verses 14 through 20. After John was put in prison, Jesus went into Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God. "The time has come," he said. "The kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe the good news." As Jesus walked beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. "Come follow me," Jesus said, "and I will make you fishers of men." At once they left their nets and followed him. When he had gone a little further, he saw James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John in a boat preparing their nets. Without delay he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with his hired men and followed him. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, as your disciples, we want to follow you. We want to follow you like James and John, the other fishermen at the lake. But sometimes there seems to be things that prevent us from doing that. Help us to follow closely in your footsteps, like the other disciples, and not be hesitant. Thank you for Danilo and his preparation for this week. Speak through him to us. Help us to understand your call to us individually in our own lives. We pray this in your name. Amen.
So as Pastor Rose introduced last week, we're starting to talk through this series called Journey Forward, where the Mennonite Church is remembering their commitments, remembering their identity together, who we are as a church, what does it mean to follow Jesus, what does it mean to live out his mission, what does it mean to experience the Holy Spirit. So Pastor Rose last week kind of set this up, and there were three renewed commitments that a group of people put together, and they talked, and they did some time discerning, reading scripture. And the first one that they came up with was a renewed commitment to follow Jesus. A renewed commitment to saying, we want to be disciples of Jesus. And then what does that mean? What does that look like for our church as a whole denomination? What does that look for congregations that are part of the Mennonite Church? What does that look for us as individuals? And so one of the scriptures that the worship planning team looked at and picked from their materials was this passage in Mark. Namin, do you mind putting it back up? We'll keep this up during our message time to refer back to it. The servant leaders this past week, we met on Tuesday, and we were dwelling in the Word. We were taking some time and meditating on this scripture as we gathered for our meeting and our agenda. And we read this together, and there was a couple different, I hadn't so far that at that time, you know, I hadn't really read through the scripture. And it was good just to sit with other people, and hear what is the Spirit saying to them? What do they notice in this scripture? That's a very Anabaptist practice, right? Reading the scripture together in community and hearing the different voices, because we know that the Holy Spirit speaks to other people in the church, right? It's not just to me as a pastor. It's not just to Rose as a pastor. When we gather together and read scripture, we know that the Holy Spirit is working in each of our lives and we have something to share and contribute. That's just a bonus lesson. That's not part of my message. But so we were sitting together and we were reading this scripture, and a couple different, Rose had some good background, some kind of commentary insights. I'm trying to remember else now. Paul had some good insights about what does it mean to be a disciple? What does that look like? It was good to hear this as I was preparing for myself. What do I notice? What do I hear God speaking to me and our community here as we read through this passage in Mark? As I did some more studying during the week three kind of simple things that I picked up from this text, from this scripture. The first one, everyone is called to be a disciple. As I read through this, I noticed everyone is called to be a disciple. As we were talking together as servant leaders, we noticed that these were fishermen, and I think this is when Pastor Rose had pointed out the people who were asked to be disciples, to follow the rabbi, you know, they were top students, right, in the rabbinical school. Sees maybe one, two, three. Those people, yep, you're the brightest, you remember everything, you get to follow the rabbi, you're selected, you're chosen. Anybody else? Better luck next year, you know, or keep trying or something. Keep memorizing, keep practicing, keep living. And so we were thinking, okay, so these fishermen, they didn't make the cut. They didn't get to follow another rabbi. So who is it? James and John, right? So they go back to their father's, their business. He was a fisherman, so it didn't work out to follow a rabbi. It didn't work out to be a disciple with someone else. We'll go back to our father's business. Andrew and Simon, I'm not sure. Like they were just fishermen. Maybe that's just kind of what they picked up. But so they were fishermen because they didn't do well enough in school. They still had, you know, an honorable trade. But here we see Jesus, even though maybe these were not the best or the brightest, Jesus is still saying, hey, I want you to follow me. I got something good. Maybe other people said, maybe you're not the best, you're not the brightest, but no, to me, you are. To me, you are worth something. To me, you are important, and I want you to follow me. You read through the rest of the scriptures, and we see Jesus inviting lots of different people, right? He invited tax collectors, right? Matthew, he was a tax collector. People hated tax collectors. He invited Simon the Zealot, a different Simon, right? So a zealot was kind of a rebellious leader, rebelling against Rome. Jewish people that were unhappy with the Roman rule, doing these kind of terrorist attacks, this kind of guerrilla warfare against the Roman Empire. He talked to women. He talked to prostitutes and said, you are invited to be part of my disciple. You are invited to know who I am, to know the truth and the life and the hope that I have. I want you to be my disciple. This feels very important as I read through this scripture. Jesus was calling people. It didn't matter what your social or economic status or your class. Jesus invited different levels of people, different circles and arenas of people in society, and said, I want you to be my follower. I want you to know my truth and my hope. Come, follow me, were his simple words. Come and follow me. So that was the first thing that I noticed. Everyone is called to be a disciple. The second thing that I picked up was in Jesus, this verses 14 and 15, kind of Jesus' opening words. The second thing was, know the gospel or the person you are following. Know the gospel or the person you are following. The gospel that Jesus was preaching at the time says there in verse 15, the time has come. The kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe the good news. In the context of these verses, the good news that he was talking about was that God was coming to be with his people. The long-awaited Messiah was here. I mean, there's more other times he talks about, you know, he does talk about everlasting life, but it wasn't, he didn't come right away and say, you know, believe in me, like, I'm your ticket to sell, or I'm your ticket to heaven. He wasn't necessarily saying that, right? Not at this moment. In the context of these verses, the good news was that Jesus was coming to the people. The long-awaited Messiah that they had been hoping for centuries and years was here. I thought, we haven't watched The Lion King recently, but we watch a lot of Disney movies at home with Amelia and Evie. And I thought of, if you've seen, you know, The Lion King, so Simba, he's kind of chased out because he's, okay, you like that movie, Than? Okay. You know, he's chased out because his uncle tells him, you killed your father, you're responsible. His uncle tells him to run away, so he's off in the wilderness, but he's really the true king because Mufasa died. And so I thought of this, I thought of the image of Rafiki. He's up in his tree kind of lamenting or kind of lost hope or something, but he catches Simba's mane, right? He catches a thing, he like quicks and grabs it, and he's like, he smells it. What? This smells like Simba. He makes something up, and he's like, Simba's alive. And he's so excited, you know, like, the king, I think he's worth, you know, the king has returned, the king is back. And so I thought of these verses. Jesus is coming. The king is back, guys. We're going to do something. Jesus is here. God, you know, God's kingdom is coming. The long-awaited God's presence, the Messiah you've been waiting for, I'm here. So repent. So those other teachers, those other things, those other ways of living that you were doing before, nah, put those away. That time is done. God is here. Believe this good news, that God is here. Believe in me and what I'm saying you. Turn away from those other things. A lot of different things, right? A lot of different things of what the people were believing and doing that day. We're doing the same things. We can list the different wrongs and the evils and the sins that we're doing. Jesus said, nah, that's done. Turn away from that life. It's done. It's over. God is here. I'm here now. So follow me. Know my truth. Know my love. This is the gospel. This is the good news that I'm telling you. So that is the gospel, and that is the person. And we continue to read the gospels, and we understand who Jesus is, calling us to love our enemies, calling us to forgiveness, to practice peace, to offer truth to others. This is the second thing that we need to learn. First, everyone is called to be a disciple. Everyone is invited into God's kingdom to know God's truth and God's love. The second, we need to understand, know the gospel, know the person you are following. We need to know who Jesus is. Sometimes others maybe are afraid to be a disciple, or others are afraid to follow after Jesus because they don't know who he is. They haven't yet experienced God's love. They haven't experienced yet God's truth and God's word. They haven't known the gospel. They haven't personally felt or interacted with who Jesus is. So they kind of hang back a little bit. I'm not ready to follow. I'm not ready to make that big commitment yet. Because I haven't figured out who Jesus is. The invitation is to come and follow. Come and know who I am. Come and know my truth, Jesus says. The third principle that I see in this scripture is that disciples make disciples. Disciples make disciples. We saw that illustrated in Pam's children's time, right? Jesus says, if you come and follow me, Simon and Andrew, James and John, the other disciples that, you know, he talks about later, if you come and follow me, I'm going to make you fishers of people, fishers of men. You're going to go out and make other disciples. There's a mission. There's a calling. We're first invited. The invitation is open to everyone. Come and be my disciple. Come and know my truth and my love. Then we continue to know Jesus' gospel, his person. What it is the truth that he's telling that we are called to tell others. As Pam said to the kids, you know, tell your friends at school that God, hey, God loves me. God wants to love you. That's a simple invitation. Jesus tells the disciples in this scripture, I'm going to make you fisher. I will send you out to fish for people. We know later at the end of the Gospel of Matthew, there is, we call it, you know, the Great Commandment or the Great Commission. Jesus, before he left the earth, very clearly said, go out and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And I will be with you to the very end of the age. We don't just get kind of stuck and happy. I'm Jesus' disciple. Yes, I'm part of the kingdom. I'm all good now. I'm glad I'm here in God's house. I just want to enjoy it. Sorry, we're missing something. I mean, first step, it takes a lot to follow Jesus, to fully follow Jesus with all of our beings, right? But then there's a second step, there's a second level. After we've known God, we're called to invite others to know this truth and this love. There's a mission, there's something we should be doing. It's not just coming here on Sundays or doing Bible studies during the week. Yes, I'm following Jesus to a certain point, right? That's good. But there's still more. God always wants more. Right? For some of us, that's hard. Like, come on, Jesus. I already said yes to following you. I'm already trying to obey what you say in Scripture. Isn't that enough? What does Jesus say? I made you a disciple. Go out and make you disciples. There's some work to be done, right? But there's also joy, right? There's also joy in helping others to come to faith, in helping others to know who Jesus is. In my time in ministry, that's what I enjoy. I enjoy working with the youth, helping them to understand their gifts, to be in part of the life of the church, to be wanting to serve God, wanting to serve others. There's a joy in discipleship and walking alongside someone, answering their questions, understanding who they are and inviting them to use their gifts for God's kingdom. Jesus calls us to make disciples. Everyone is called to be a disciple. We are to know the gospel and know the person that we are following. And last, we are to make disciples. Following Jesus is not something easy. It's hard. It takes a lot of help from the Holy Spirit for self-control and discipline. It makes us have to do some crazy or bold things. We look back at the beginning in verse 14. John was preaching the gospel of repentance too, right? He said, there's going to be another one coming who's I'm not even worthy to untie his sandals. The Messiah is coming. I'm pointing you to the Messiah. People were upset that John was preaching this. John the Baptist was preaching this gospel of repentance. And he had gone to prison. And he gets beheaded because he's talking about Jesus. Jesus, we know, he said a lot of truth. The Roman Empire did not like what he was doing. He was put to death, right? Following Jesus is not something that is we should take lightly. As we had in our call to worship, it's bearing our cross the way Jesus bore his cross. It's speaking God's truth the way Jesus spoke truth. It's going places, it's doing things that we would rather not do, but because we love Jesus and we say, we have chosen to follow you, we are called to do them. As we hear Jesus' words, repent and believe the good news. Think about the cost of discipleship. Think about the life I'm calling you to live. There are some things that we need to leave behind, things that can get stuck in that net, and we want to leave them there. We need to cast our nets aside and say, I'm leaving that behind. This is no longer helpful or useful in my life. This is not the direction that God wants me to be going. I need to cast this aside. Leave this behind and follow Jesus with all that I am. You have the footprints in your bulletin. I want to invite you to take time. Read over this scripture. Read the words, repent and believe the good news. Read the words, come and follow me. Read the words, I will make you fisher of people. Jesus is calling you. Jesus is calling us to more, to something else, to an alternative community, to an alternative truth that the world was telling then and that the world is telling now. As our call to worship said, Jesus' words are, I am the truth, the way, and the life. There is nothing more, there is nothing greater than in Jesus. And Jesus is inviting us to come and be a part of him, to be a part of his community. Take time and think, what do I need to leave behind? In order to be more faithful, in order to be a better disciple, or maybe even just to start your journey. To start your journey of being a disciple. As Stan's song, you know, that we sang, God has a pretty reckless love sometimes. Even when we resist, God wants to chase us down. God's overwhelming, overpowering grace and love and truth, it is out there trying to find us. May we leave behind the things that need to be left behind in order to follow Jesus. Amen.